Welcome to the Canine Classroom, a podcast for dog training professionals and dog enthusiasts where we discuss training, behavior, and everything in between. We're two friends and dog trainers that share a passion for dogs. We're constantly learning, exploring, and questioning each other's ideas as well as our own so we can become better at what we do. We're here to provide helpful advice, have open conversations, ask questions, get answers, as well as hear from colleagues and experts in the industry, regardless of method and training style. So take a seat and get your notepad out because class is in session. So, all right. So, yeah, tonight I wanted to talk about the topic of you can't.
No. Don't tell me that.
Okay.
Are you talking? Are we recording? That's not how you usually talk when you're actually talking.
Why? How do I
Was
use?
That the podcast?
I was starting, but.
Oh, you were talking so calm and quiet. All right. So continue. Pretend I didn't do that.
What would you like? What do you want me to do, Vinny? Tell me.
A little bit louder. There you go.
Can we make an episode just on like fucking bloopers and shit?
Yeah, this whole fucking episode is a blooper so far. So just tell us what you're doing. What are we doing?
So Vinny wants me to speak louder, so I'm gonna speak louder. Fucking guy. So recently I've been seeing on social media, I saw a post that was getting a little bit of traction. It was, you can't obedience your way out of behavior problems. So I thought that would be an interesting topic for us to talk about. So tell me, Vinny, do you agree?
No, I don't think so. I don't think I do agree.
Oh, I'm
I don't
sorry.
Completely disagree. I don't know.
I was going to, yeah. I mean, I'm split because I think it's a really.
Oh,
I think
yeah, you split?
Yeah, a little bit. I think it depends on definitely the case and the situation for sure. But I also think that there are definitely situations where you can use skills to at least manage certain situations. It doesn't mean that you're going to totally fix or address a problem necessarily, but you can definitely use certain training skills or obedience skills or whatever you want to call it to address certain things for sure or help manage it.
Yeah, I think it's more management. I guess it kind of depends what we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know.
Well,
I go back and forth.
Yeah,
but
we could use an example. So we could do, we could talk about leash reactivity, right? Because that one, like almost ever, like so many of us see. So that's like an easy one to talk about. I mean, I could talk from personal experience with Quest. So my dog Quest was always weird and a little reactive towards dogs since she was a puppy, but I've been able to use obedience skills to help her in those situations to reduce her reactions, if that makes sense. So if we see a dog on the street and I feel that it's a dog that's going to make her get concerned, I can ask her to go into a heel and use that as a way to get her to walk by. Or I could use leash pressure. For example, if she was walking on my right side and the dog was across the street, basically on the same, like, you know, on the same side, essentially, I could use leash pressure to guide her to my left side to get her to switch sides to move her if I didn't want to use a verbal, just as an example. Or if like the verbal wasn't totally clear because she started to get triggered, I could use the leash pressure to back it up and get her to switch sides. So it doesn't mean that those skills are fixing her reactive behavior, right? But it's able to help manage it in the sense of I'm able to walk by that so-called trigger without her blowing up.
The post that we're talking about is that, I just want to make sure that I'm clear on exactly, I don't remember exactly what it said, that you can't fix a behavioral problem.
You can't obedience your way out of a behavior problem or a behavior issue.
Okay. And in your example, so because I think I'm almost taking it a different way. So in your example, you're saying technically you are using obedience, and the obedience is making the behavior at least appear like it's not there. Is that fair to say that?
I guess so. Like I said, I'm using the behavior to more manage my dog and her response, as opposed to, like, it's not the teaching my dog to heal is not teaching her to not react, if that makes sense, right? I mean,
she's just not reacting because she's healing, because
I guess
it's
in a way, I guess she, in a way, she isn't. I guess in a way it is, because she isn't reacting. But my point is, it's not addressing the fact that she's concerned about whatever she's concerned.
It's not
about.
Addressing the root cause.
Right. Right.
And then I guess what I would want to see is, do you think if you did that a bunch of times and then one day you didn't, is the dog just going to revert back to the problem of lunging and barking?
Well, actually, so with my dog, I mean, I could say in most cases, she can, I don't need to heal, like get her into a heel anymore. She could see the dog and not really care. Or I shouldn't say not really care. She might notice the dog. Sometimes she won't care. She'll just look and be like, whatever. And then other times she'll stare and just like look at the dog, but she's not growling or lunging like she used to.
And you think that's because of the obedience?
I think that, well, I think it's a mixture of things. I do think some of it was definitely the obedience, because I did work a lot of that into those situations to get her to do something else. That's definitely not the only thing, but that's definitely the skills that I taught her definitely helped for sure.
No, I'm like, I'm honestly thinking about it.
I mean, I'm thinking about that dog. I remember when I went to your house and we hung out. It's kind of, I mean, I don't know. It was kind of, it's kind of the same thing. I remember that, what was he reacting at? Like maybe dogs, if I
people.
recall. And huh? People?
People. I think both, honestly.
I don't know. I mean, he greeted me in your house. I mean.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was like in the distance. People,
oh, okay.
Like,
so maybe that's what it was. Okay.
Well, he's so he
like,
was friendly.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. So like, I remember you were basically, if I recall, you were doing the same thing. You were asking him in certain situations to be in a heel to get him to pass those individuals without reacting.
Yeah, but the question that I have is, is that creating lasting change? And if it does, is it because of the obedience?
I don't know. I think it's a mixture of things. I think because like, I like, for example, with Quest, for example, she gets very hyper fixated on things, like where she'll just stare and like she won't even necessarily react in the sense of lunging, barking, etc., but she's just a dog who has to stare and look, and that can get her into a bad place, right? So I just think that the skills of getting her to do another behavior in certain situations was benefiting her as opposed to not helping her at all.
Yeah, I'm just I'm playing devil's advocate a little bit. I'm not, obviously I teach obedience to my dogs, and I teach obedience, so I'm trying to play around with the idea, though, that I feel the less obedience I used, the better my dogs are getting, the less obedience I use.
I don't
I
know what
see.
you're saying. Explain.
I see obedience as management in
Yes.
some ways still, to replace maybe a behavioral change that I'm looking for, when the dog is just
yeah.
Like not under any like command or cue or in some type of a contingency with me. Like, if I just leave my house and my dog has nothing on them and they're just free, what are they doing at that point without me doing anything? And I feel like that's the true behavior of that dog. And once I start relying on tools, leashes, treats, toys, I am getting myself further away from what that dog is in itself, like at the core. Does that
Yeah,
make
but
sense?
it makes sense, but
And I think that's what people mean by behavioral stuff.
I guess what I'm saying to you is if today, if I pass a dog, like the other day when we were at Annalise's new place, after the session I had with Nake, we walked into the lobby and I don't remember if it was Rachel was out there with her dog. Quest saw Rachel with her dog, what, 20 feet away? I mean, she looked at her and she's like, all right, fuck it, let's just go. Right? Like, I didn't ask her to heal. I didn't ask her to do anything. And if I'm on a walk with her, the majority of the time, yeah, are there certain dogs that might cause her to get concerned or even react? Yes. 95% of the time, she doesn't really give a shit. If there's a couple of dogs here and there that make you feel uncomfortable, I'm okay with that. Right? So, like, now, I can just let her walk and she sees a dog on a walk, whatever. Like, I see it. Let's keep going. Who cares? She's doing exactly basically like what you're saying is what she's doing. She walks out of the house. She does this. She sees a dog. She's doing the same exact thing now. Yeah, she might look at it. It's there.
But do you think there's other things you did? Because I think, and maybe I'll
Yes, I said
clarify,
that.
like, so then, because I feel like you can reinforce and punish without using obedience. And I'm wondering if maybe through the process of obedience, you kind of did those other things. Because I think, so let's, because. Let's think of it in a different way. Is if I have a dog that's fearful and scared, and I, whatever, maybe I use a slip lead and make it sit, and now it's sitting near people, and then it's not reacting anymore. Can I really be like, oh, see, the dog is better, or is the dog only just sitting because I'm like forcing them to sit? And like, does the
Yeah.
sit even really change the way they feel? Like, probably if they're nervous of people, they're still nervous of people. They're just sitting and
But that's
nervous of
exactly
people.
what I said before. Like I was saying, like when I'm making my dog heal, I'm not changing the way that she necessarily feels about that dog. I'm using it as a management strategy in that moment.
Sure. So then why is the obedience w to blame for the improved behavior?
Because I think over time it helped her, aside from all the other stuff that I was doing, I think that it was also able to help her realize, oh, okay, like I don't need to focus or fixate on that. Why were you teaching that German Shepherd to heal when he saw people or
Yeah, no,
dogs?
like I said, I'm like
No, I'm
intentionally
asking you though. I'm
questioning you.
asking you, like maybe my answer is not, maybe I'm not answering it correctly. That's why I'm asking you. What was the reason that you had that dog like going into a heel when he saw people or dogs?
Was to manage it in that situation right now.
Okay.
But then that's what I'm saying is
And
like, I
then what
don't
else
think
did you do? What else
that's
did you do
not.
to help him? What else did you do to help him maybe address that problem?
Yeah, so then I needed to have the dog make choices, meaning I'm not allowing you, I'm not, no, excuse me, I'm not telling you to heal. I might allow you to start looking at people, and maybe I'm not doing something unless you do something I don't like reacting or lunging or barking. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's an interesting the
The
reason.
thing, oh, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go.
I was just say, like, in terms of the post, like, I think part of why it's something that's been on my mind is because the post itself isn't necessarily wrong. Like, I don't think that Teaching my dog to heal when it sees other dogs is changing the way she feels about those dogs. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't feel that that's what's happening. Like I said, I'm using it as a way to help manage her and her behavior so we could walk by without her reacting, while at the same time doing other things to help her maybe change her feeling or response in those situations. But I think that when I read the post, and maybe it was partially because of the individuals that I saw liking it, posting, commenting, etc., and I know them, I felt like it's a lot of the people who tend to not really do a lot of training with their dogs, I guess is what I'm saying. And making it out to be that training skills, life skills, or training skills, etc., like making it seem like training isn't important. And I think that's where it was really sitting for me, because I the message of the post itself, I don't necessarily disagree with, but I think it was maybe even more, in a way, the people that I saw commenting and posting or resharing it, etc., are a lot of individuals who are not for training or don't work with their own dogs. And I think that they're using that post as a way to say that training isn't important. And then, like, then that becomes like, what are we talking when we're saying training? What does that mean? Because, like, I also find that people, when a lot of professionals in our industry, when we hear the word training, everyone, or not everyone, but a good amount of people, or maybe those individuals in that category, are going to look at training as like strict obedience type skills, where a visitor comes in the home, like, go to your fucking bed, and you're going to stay there for 25 minutes until I release you. Or I'm doing these training sessions where the dog is in a sit stay or a down stay on their dog bed until further notice. And I don't think that that's necessarily true. Like, I think we could train a dog or teach a dog. And I guess this is the thing, like the semantics of the word training, whether it's training or teaching, right? Like, we can teach our dogs in the moment, on the spot, whether that means like, hey, good job, buddy, or no, don't do that again. You know, and so I think that, like, people are, I think a lot of maybe professionals in our industry are getting caught up even in just the semantics of the word training automatically means that you need to start teaching your dog like high level obedience skills and a downstay on a place and a heel when we're passing triggers, etc. But it's not that. It's a much way, so much more than that, in my opinion. So,
and you know what I think is kind of funny? I actually wanted to ask you where you saw the post, or like the type of people that were making the post, because the thing that I've been thinking about lately and have been noticing, because I do appreciate and follow and am friends with people that are super balanced and super force free, is a lot of the force free trainers that I respect and I like, and a lot of the balanced trainers that I respect and I like, are actually both have a lot more in common than I think they even both realize.
Yeah.
Because they both hate each other so bad.
Yep.
And they're actually doing the same thing, the same exact main idea, but with just one major tweak on both sides. And what that is, if I'm just going to summarize this and try to like boil it down to the most simple thing: management on force free side, punishment on the balance side. So a lot of the forestry trainers that I think are great, I don't agree with everything that they say, but I appreciate them and I think they really care about dogs. They will say the stuff you're saying, like, why do I need a sit stay? Why do I need a heel? Why does my dog need to be on a place bed for 20 minutes, like being pronged and electrocuted there? And why am I doing that? Dogs should be free walking on 30-foot leashes, getting to sniff and go wherever they want. They should be at a sniff spot, running around and being free, 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 free. If your dog runs away, keep a leash on them. If your dog, whatever, manage them, put a gate up, whatever. On the balance side, the trainers that I enjoy and I like will make the same first arguments. My dog doesn't need a strict heel. My dog doesn't need to be on a placebed for 3 hours a day and I'm
Yep.
stimming them to the bed. I want my dogs to be free. I want them to have access to everything they want. But you know what? If I, you know, if they're eating poop, bam, I'm gonna, you know, use the e-collar. If they're running away and I call them, they don't, I'm gonna use an e-collar for that. And I think both of them are doing that. I don't think they're relying heavily on obedience, both. And then the funny thing is, and I'll call out myself, is because I've kind of transitioned from one to the other, is Baloo living with me as a force-free trainer 10 years ago was under so much more control than my Belgian Malinois Zim, who was raised under balance methods. Because with Baloo, what I did was management, leashes, gates, fences, whatever, and tons of rewarding, constantly looking at me, treating at me, click and treat, click and treat, click and treat. You need to walk and stare at me. Whereas with Zim, it's like, yeah, dude, I'm going to punish certain behaviors that I don't like. Otherwise, knock yourself out, bro. Do whatever you need to do. I have never clicked and treated him for giving me eye contact on a walk unless I'm teaching him obedience heel that I'm using on a Mondiering field. I'm never doing that down my street unless, again, I'm practicing for Mondiering. It has nothing to do with my life with him. If I was a pet dog owner, I wouldn't need any of it.
Yeah,
So it's
but I
like,
also not like also to play devil's advocate, we're talking about a dog that was also maybe bred a little bit to be a little more focused on their handler in some way.
sure, but
Because,
I wouldn't need, I still wouldn't need to do look at me for treats.
yeah, but also like then you have a dog like Quest where I had to do that to get her to make sure, like to remember, hey, Anthony's here too. You know, like, and you,
Well,
I mean, I
yeah,
don't
I mean,
know. I
you
mean,
can
you
use
saw her,
play and stuff
listen,
like that, but
you saw her on Sunday at the workshop, and like I was texting you yesterday saying like, oh wow, I was actually so happy with her. Like there were what, 12 people in the room, and you know, aside from her like wagging her tail and getting excited to see you, she didn't go say hi. Like the only person she said hi to was the decoy, and again, like he invited her to say hello, right? And a lot, if you noticed, and I actually was looking at the video that you recorded for me. When I was talking to him, if I didn't release her to just like when I didn't say all done, she was standing there while he and I were talking, and she was standing there just staring at me the whole time.
See, but
She's like her,
I
her.
just still see this whole thing as obedience though, which is fine. Like you were there doing obedience. Like when I'm in a situation like
No,
that,
that,
like my
well, I
dog
mean,
is
yeah,
an
we were doing
obedient.
obedience in the beginning, but when we were working with him, I mean, we were just doing play stuff. She could have left. And she did leave a couple times when I had released her, right? Like when I said, like, we're all done with that. And then there were times when I said all done and she still stayed there and was just hanging out, like staring at me, as opposed to before, like you remember,
And I
you
think
just
some of the
leave,
stuff,
she
I
would
think some
leave
of,
and go say hello to you, or just like blow me off and go say hi to people.
yeah, and I
She's
think
more
some,
independent in that way versus like, you know, where I'm saying like with Zim, I don't know if Zim is necessarily that as independent in that way, where
and I'm
he's
just saying if he was where I'm at now, I wouldn't be using a 6-foot leash with a clicker and treats. Like I just wouldn't, that's not how I'd be teaching that. I
What
just
would you be
wouldn't, I
doing?
It would depend on the dog, but like
All
I'd be
right, that's
using
what
the
I'm
in
saying. It
I
depended on the
but
dog.
no, but what I'm saying is I wouldn't be in that mindset of like look at me for food.
Yeah,
Like
but I
that's
don't
just
necessarily.
incorrect. I don't do that with any dogs anymore. Like I just like
Again, what would you do
legitimately
then? You're
don't
saying
think
you
it's
don't do that. So what would you do instead?
in terms of what? With leash
Literally
walking?
what
Like
we're
I don't
talking about. You
know
said you won't
what
use
we're
food.
talking about.
You just said
Sure.
I won't use food.
Sure.
I don't do it with any dog. So what would you do if you need a dog who's maybe more independent, who's more willing to find
Okay,
the
I use negative
environment and
reinforcement. I
exploring?
use negative reinforcement and punishment.
Okay,
That's
go
it.
ahead, explain. Because now you're
That's
saying
it.
words that you know people are gonna start like, oh, what is Vinny doing?
No, I mean, I'm just telling you that's what I would do. Like,
Right.
I mean, in what way? I could use the dog starts pulling. I
Give me
use
an
negative
example then.
reinforcement
Like,
to
give me
my
an
side,
example.
or I tell my dog not to pull me. Like, what do you mean? So I'm walking my dog on a leash. My dog hits the end of the leash, and I tell them, stop pulling at the end of the leash. That's it. That's it. It's over. Like,
Okay.
it's literally done. That's it.
And then
Don't
when they
pull the
pull
end of the
again.
leash.
And then when they
So I
pull
just.
again. I'm playing devil's advocate because you're using
Well, if
words,
I'm punishing behavior, if
oh,
I'm.
Vinny, because this is what happens. And this is partially because I edited like three freaking episodes today. And every episode, this is you. You were saying, oh, I know people are going to say this about Vinny. So you're saying words. So I'm just making you clarify because these are the things that you say in every episode.
Sure. Okay. So if I'm punishing the dog for pulling on the leash and I'm punishing it, that means that the amount of pulling on the leash is going to decrease. You know this. You know what that is, Anthony, right? When we punish, we make the behavior decrease. So if that's not happening, then like I'm obviously not punishing the behavior. So next
Okay, but
question.
let's talk about like let's talk, I don't care about pulling on the leash. Like we're talking about like you were saying eye contact and focusing and stuff like that. So like I
Okay.
was saying to
What about
Quest, like I was using, I was rewarding her. I was rewarding her a little bit in the beginning with food, check-ins, like all that stuff, because she wasn't like I was just non-existent to her. I was also using a lot of play because it was easy enough to do. I mean, now like it's something that she is able to just check in and say, hey, you're here, as opposed to before. That's why I was giving my example with like Sunday. And like I said, I was looking at the video that you took. Like there were plenty of times she could have left and she didn't, and she was just sitting there like orbiting me. And I think that was something like again, that was something for me I had to cultivate with her, partially because of who she is.
But what I, you don't think, like, I would attribute a lot of, like, way more of that to your ability to understand her, play with her more successfully, build a better relationship with her. Like, I don't think that was created because you taught her a good sit stay.
Yeah, correct.
Which is, that's what, that's it. So
Yeah,
I'm
we weren't
saying, like,
taught.
I
Yeah.
don't think it's obedience. Like, I think, like, Nake started showing you how to play with her differently, and you guys started playing, and then she was way more loaded on you. Like, even during the play, like, she stopped running away from you. She stopped running away with the toy. Like, yeah,
Yeah,
she
but
was a little
even if.
weirded out, and the leash was weird at first, but like, that literally happened in like minutes. And like, that wasn't because you came in and did more obedience with her. That was because you were like speaking her language more and going with the flow of the game and enticing her differently and just handling the stuff differently. And like, I would argue that that is way more important than like, oh, you came in and did like a heal or like you gave her a treat at a period of time. So
Yeah.
like, if you want to call that, like, I wouldn't call that obedience. I would call
Yeah, I would
that
agree with you.
something different. And like, I would argue, like, yeah, like, let's be clear, your obedience was way better. She came in the room like so good, especially she's never even been there. But like, that she still, like, at that point she came in, she was looking good, her obedience was good, but then she got the toy and started zooming around, and then like that behavior, like, if you want to call that a
Well, and I
behavioral
also, to be
issue,
fair, I did let her, I did say her
yeah,
cues.
you were telling her like zoom, go zoom. So like, that was like different. But then like, what I thought was the coolest part for me to watch as someone just watching was what you and him are able to do with toys and like moving and that type of stuff. And that is where I feel like you are going to make way more of a lasting emotional change with her and you. And that's what I mean. Like, again, I mean, like, intentionally almost trying to take the point of view of someone that's like, I don't need any obedience, but like, you've called out, like, yeah, I teach my dogs obedience. And I do actually see a benefit to it. Sometimes I almost wonder if like the benefit to it is more in the process of doing it versus like the sit stay, for example.
I think that I think you touched on a good point, and you just made a good point too, is in the process, like the relationship building piece, not even so much about what is it that you're necessarily doing, but more so about is this something that is continuing to develop or cultivate a relationship or connection between you and the dog? And I think like your example actually with with Quest and me and working with Nake, I think was a good example of that, because you're right. Like at the end, I mean, even with him, she towards the end, when he started working with her at the very end of the lesson, where it was just him working with her and I was just standing there watching. And at first she was trying to like leave a little bit, try to take the toy and all this stuff. And then it got to a point where she was starting to check in with him. Like that was what was earning the reward of like getting the toy in the first place. Right. So I do think that there's something to be said for training. And again, it doesn't mean training where we're talking about specific, strict obedience skills per se, but just the concept of training and teaching and spending time with your dog and developing that piece, that relationship piece in all of this. For example, like, so I was using Zim as an example and comparing to Quest. Like you've said before on here, Zim naturally, like if we compare him maybe to like Quest in the sense of like this, Zim naturally gravitates or orbits you more versus like I had to put a lot more work into that with Quest, even with play. I mean, you've seen it, you've helped
yeah me. But so you've I guess helped what me I was
with
trying
her
to
with
is...
wait, you've helped me with her with play too, where she would prefer to play the party of one game and leave or whatever. And so with Zim, if you didn't, even if you didn't do certain things like the obedience stuff, the play aspect and that relationship piece of just spending the time with him. And look, and the reality is even with Quest too, like the time that's spent, like that relationship piece, I think is important. And I'm not, and what I'm saying is it doesn't need to be that we're talking about strict, like, oh, obedience skills. Oh, the dog needs to be in this strict heel. The dog needs to be in this strict downstay or whatever. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying training in general. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I thought you were. I didn't think you were done. Yeah, no, you touched on a few things. Yeah, one thing I will say, you little bitch, is Zim did like to possess toys and run away with them and hide and not bring them back. So that was something that I had to work on. But what I was saying before that is I had a dog similar to you in Baloo. Like Baloo, he was very much, you know, Labrador. Everywhere I went, he was everyone's best friend. And like for a lot of people, that sounds like a dream when you're trying to get, you know, obedience or get your dog to focus and engage with you, and they're literally engaged with a tree stump just as much because they think everyone is the best person in the world. You know, like it was hard, and like I was almost suppressing him using treats and food, and yeah. If I would have went back, I would have done things way differently, and I think it would have looked more like, again, this is back to the whole idea of like both sides kind of doing the same thing, is like, and this is what I eventually did do with him that led me on the path that I've been on, of letting him just be, giving him way more freedom and letting him just do more of what he wanted. But then, yeah, I did explore balance methods and the benefit of being able to say like, hey, you're completely free, dude, but like, you can't do that one thing because it's dangerous, or I just don't want you to do that. And then I really did feel like I was almost cheating, because it's like I'm taking from the best of both sides. And like, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at this point. Like, yeah, I want to learn from the best person that's thoughtful, that's using whatever method it is, whether it's forcery or balanced. I will say that I definitely have been swinging pretty far to the balance side, because I've just personally single-handedly have seen it change my own dogs for the better, and change the client dogs that I'm working with for the better, as well as just like friends and people in the community that I see doing really good things.
I mean, I know, and listen, I don't disagree with you. I mean, you there, because I mean, the reality is that a lot of the things I do with Quest that you're talking about that you did with Baloo, like there's a lot, I don't want to say there's a lot of similarities, but there are a lot of similarities in a lot of the, like these things where she's had to put me in situations where I've had to say, hey, okay, what else do I need to do here? Or what else can I do here to allow you to maybe have more freedom, but make you understand, no, that's not acceptable. Or this is something that you're not allowed to do right now. Sorry. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I definitely get it. I mean, I definitely get what you're saying in that sense, for sure.
Yeah. And then like, I'm trying to think, you know, back to we touched on a little bit like the process of it. So like, 'cause what I find is more important than like my dog's butthole being on the ground for like 10 seconds while I walk away is more like there's an item you want to grab, but you're going to wait to do it. There's this thing you want to do, but like you're just going to do something with me first before you do that. You're doing this thing you're enjoying, and I'm going to ask you to stop for a second. Sorry. Like, those are the things that I find myself asking clients or trying to teach clients to do versus like, how long can your dog put their belly on a mat while you hold a cookie in the kitchen? It's more like, hey, like if your dog runs away from you and you call them, do they come back? Like, do they stop doing a thing that they're trying to do? If your two dogs are messing with each other in the backyard, can you tell them to knock it off, but like don't tell them immediately to go do something else or take out food or make them go to each side of the corner of the fucking yard? Can you just literally be like, hey guys, knock it off, and then they go, okay, sorry, and they just move away, you know? That's kind of where I see it. And then I'm sure you've also dealt with this where like you ever just have that dog, or you know, when maybe you relied more heavily on the obedience where they do the obedience stuff really good, but then like, yeah, but like he's like barking out the window at the mailman, or like he like nipped my daughter when she went over to him. Like that's kind of what I'm thinking about when people are saying like, you know, or like the board and train places that just put dogs on the mat, like tethered to a wall for 5 hours, and they're just like turning them into zombies. Like,
Yeah, I mean, I just had
I don't
that
know.
yesterday. I had someone who I have a consult coming up with who called me, and they sent their dog to a 4 week board and train, and they spent, I don't remember, $6,000-$7,000 on this board and train. And
Damn, time to put the prices up.
yeah, the this dog is a 1.5 year old cattle dog and is fighting with one of the other dogs in the home. But then when it was at the facility that it was at, they were like, yeah, I mean, the dog is out with us in the class, around other dogs, doing all the sit stay, going to the mat, etc. And then the dog came back home, and it's still a problem with the dog that lives at the home because those skills aren't something that's going to change the way he feels about the dog that he lives with, that he doesn't like. Those skills maybe can be used for, again, like to manage certain situations. And even that, you have to be careful. Like, if there's two dogs who are like, these two dogs just go in and fight with each other, they're like holding on, they're biting, all this stuff. I mean, you're rolling the dice if you're going to ask that dog to go sit or stay on a dog bed while the other dog is being walked through the house to go to the bathroom, to the back door. You know, like that's even a risk. Like, why are you taking that chance if they hate each other in the first place? Like, why not just put one in one room, close the door, and like rotate? But so yeah, I mean, I like totally agree with you. I don't think that teaching dogs these skills are going to fix these behaviors. I think they're, again, management strategies that can help address certain behaviors. But I guess, like, what I'm saying again is I feel that just like what you said before, you have the force-free side that is about management, and then you have the balance side that's about punishment, negative reinforcement, etc. I think that when I see a post like this, the first thing for me that comes to my head is a lot of these people that are posting this, I feel like a lot of the time feel that this means training in general really isn't that important. And I'm going to go a step further and say last week when you and I were podcasting, I gave the example of my grandfather living on his 10-acre farm. And he had a Jack Russell Terrier. And I said to you, my grandfather didn't train the dog. And for me, in my head, what I was saying is he didn't sit there doing what Anthony and Vinny do, which is we're sitting there in our basement doing training sessions with our dog, doing these repetitions with our dogs because we're having a good time and we're enjoying the company of our dog. And then you said to me, was he really not training? And so what I like, and so I understood exactly what you meant in the sense of, no, you're right. He was teaching again. And this
he was teaching
before about the word training and teaching, like the semantics of the wording. But the reality is, yeah, he actually was doing work with his dog when he was on the farm and there were like moles or rodents or whatever. He would tell that dog to go do its thing and he would encourage it. He would encourage, yeah, like, you know, he would say it in Italian and all this stuff and he would just encourage the dog to go do it. But then when the dog was doing something wrong, he would stop the dog from doing it.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
And it didn't have to be like what you and I do with it, like what you do at Zim or what I do with Quest. Like, it didn't have to be this session of just training repetitions, drills for obedience. But this was my point earlier about like training isn't training and obedience skills. Like, people think of the word training and they think it's equals obedience skills, and it doesn't. Training can be equaling life skills. No, do not do that. No, stop. Like, you don't have to do this. I'm going to walk you away from there now. Like, I had a client tonight and it was very simple. The dog is constantly barking at the door, constantly barking at the door. And it's partially because the owners reinforced some of the behavior by accident and whatever. And the bottom line was, it was very simple. The dog would bark. We would go over. We would say enough. We would grab the leash that it was attached to and we would walk the dog away. And that was it. It took
so you just said like, no, don't
three
do it.
Repetitions and the dog stopped. Like,
wow.
Like, wow. Yeah, exactly.
Like, wow, it's
like,
a magic trick.
Like, magical. And so my point is, it doesn't need to, like, yes, okay, in that situation, there were repetitions. We removed the dog. We let go of the leash. We allowed the dog to do whatever it wanted. It walked around for a little and then went back to the door. And then it walked, we did it again. And then it walked around for a little. Then it came over and got some attention. Then it went back to the door. And then the third time we did it. It went down and it laid down and then fell asleep and then came over and sat on my lap for the rest of the session while I was talking with the owners. And it didn't have to be like this drill session, but the point is that, like, what I'm saying is people are looking at it as training skills is just this one thing, and it isn't. It can be actual like life skills of some kind, because this dog that we were teaching the word enough and just removing him physically with just the leash, just, hey, don't do that. And I'm picking the drag line up and just walking you away. The reality is, in about a week or two, if these owners are consistent enough, and I say a week or two because this dog's been doing this shit for like 4 years. So like in a week or two, the owner should be able to test it out. And when the dog, if the dog barks at the door, can the owner just say from across the room, enough, and the dog walks away from the door because it understands to stop? Right? Am I making sense? I mean, like, am I being clear, like, in what I'm trying to explain? I don't know.
Yeah. And so, like, do you think that you were punishing the behavior?
Sure. I mean, I guess in some way, yeah.
Yeah.
But you're just, no, yeah. Like, I'm removing, like, why? Do you think different?
No.
Well, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see that dog. I don't see exactly, because different dogs find everything's punishing.
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I would
oh,
assume
yeah, absolutely,
that
yeah.
I would assume that the dog is kind of being punished for that.
Yeah. But I guess, like, and like, if we're
so
gonna
let me ask you this
that,
before
if we're gonna
before
go down
I
that
lose you,
rabbit
because
hole.
on that
Wait, I
because
just want to say, if
no,
we're
it's
gonna
not a
go
rabbit
down,
hole, it's related to it.
okay, you want to go
It's related to that before. So you said it would start barking when what?
Two
when the
reasons.
door
I don't think I actually said it. So it was
you
barking.
Didn't
for,
say it?
Yeah, it would bark for one of two reasons. So it would either bark if it heard someone outside. I don't know what that someone or some that sound was, because it wasn't everything that passed the house. So I don't know. The owners weren't really clear on it either, and I didn't really notice. And then the other reason was when it just wanted to go for a walk.
So, okay. So maybe not with the walk one, because I'm only going to have to pick one of those. But like, do you think the dog would have learned quicker doing it the way you did it, which is like you let the dog, you were letting the dog bark, right? But you were waiting until the dog barked, and then you were telling it no or whatever, and going over and pulling it away and giving it something else to do.
No, I wasn't even letting, well, I was letting the, once I said enough, like just stop, then I walked the dog away. I let go of the leash and
You
allowed
are.
the dog to do whatever it wanted. Just
Sure.
don't do
So,
that one
like,
behavior.
okay. So, do you think the dog would have learned better that way? Or if, like, you started telling everyone, hey, 5 minutes before you come to the house, tell me that you're coming. And then once they call you, you take out chicken out of the refrigerator and then you make the dog go to their place and eat a bunch of chicken, so much to the point that they don't even notice that the person's coming. And then they walk into the house, but the dog is like so fixated on the food and doing the
I
obedience
don't
that you
think
sit there
that's
and you feed it.
I well,
Like,
first of all, so first of all, for this situation, just because of me seeing visually thinking about it and seeing it in my head, like for this situation, that's not what I'm talking about, pretending that it was. I don't think so. I mean, I guess like maybe the dog would need to be just behind the den, like the gate that they have in their den that they had set up. And then we could let the dog out at a certain point, but that wasn't like the main issue. I do think that there are like I will say, okay, actually I have another client that I could just say. So I that represents what you're talking about. So they had three other trainers, and one of them was harshly punishing the dog, like it was just ridiculous. I mean, it was just so stupid. But anyway, I'm not gonna get into that. And then the other two, they were trying to one of them, I think, was trying to teach the dog to go to its dog bed. Another one, they were teaching like to just kind of sit, stay while people walked in. And so what I was doing was I just said, look, the dog's been doing this now for 2 years, and the dog is like extreme. So in terms of its jumping, so I was just like, hey, just put the dog in the crate. The dog likes the crate. Let's leave it in there. And then at a certain point, when we feel the dog is relaxed, so let the dog out. So she's not bombarding people, because a lot of people that were coming into the home were older. And then if we see the dog is about to jump or is going to jump, then that's where we can just take the drag line and just walk the dog away from the person, let go of the dog, and let the dog make the decision on what they want to do. Same concept, basically, right? Like you do this behavior, I'm just going to say a marker word that just means, hey, like stop that, cut it out, and I'm just going to walk you away. Or just pull you down, actually, in that case. So we weren't walking the dog away. We're just literally just pulling it down for that case. And I don't know, within a few times, the dog was just like, oh, okay. So, I mean, now that dog, and I think that dog, and even the dog that I'm talking about from tonight, if I was redirecting the dog and rewarding it, or sending it to its bed and forcing it to stay, like I think the reality is I'm just charging those dogs up. Because once I release them to be free to do what they want, what are they going to do, Vinny? You know?
And do what they want.
Yep. Does that answer your question? Sort of.
And then I think you're talking about it before, and then I didn't have time.
We have plenty of time.
I
Come on.
do, I do. Well, no, because I might be backtracking a little bit, is what I meant. So now to completely switch and sound like a hypocrite. Back to like the benefits of training. You're talking about like we were talking about like multi-dog households a little bit. Sometimes I think in a multi-dog household, or even maybe Quest out on walks, back to what you were saying, obedience can, management through obedience can cause an emotional change to either that dog or to other dogs. Like, you have a new puppy, you have a, maybe you get a new puppy that's a little shy, and you have an older dog that keeps going over to investigate the new puppy. If you're able to tell, your dog, like your older dog, to like move away from the puppy, or like, back off or leave it. Like maybe the puppy has a bone and the older dog starts going over. If you have a leave it with the older dog and you keep that older dog away, the younger dog sees that you have control of the older dog, and then that could make the younger dog feel like the older dog is more predictable and then less anxious of that older dog. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know for sure, like, that's stuff that I did in my household to stop my three dogs from fighting, right? Like, space is space. Like, don't get into people's space. If someone has something, if one of the dogs has something that is theirs, do not go over and try to steal shit. Like, teaching them to move out of each other's way.
But
like,
let me ask you this, and I don't know if this is devil's advocate type of thing or me just asking a question. I'm not really sure.
Dickhead. No, I'm kidding.
I'm not really sure at the moment, but when you say, like, hey, don't go in someone's space, does that necessarily mean that that was an obedience skill, or does that mean you just simply, like,
yeah, true, it's because it's kind of nuts, me just punishing them,
like,
a little
stepped
bit.
Yeah, you stepped in between.
Yeah, and that, again,
stop,
because
or
again,
stop,
like,
you physically,
it's back to, like, yeah, because,
like,
like,
that's
it's
my
back to,
point.
like,
This
that's
is my
why I
point.
don't train that way. Like, yeah,
Right.
like,
This is
when
my
the
point.
dogs, if there's a dog like that, they're on leash and they go over, I go, no, stop it.
Yeah.
You know, I guess there are certain obedience commands, like that kind of just helped to make things smoother, right? Like,
Sure.
I did teach my dogs to back up, and then if they're in each other's fucking way or they're near each other, I go back away. Like, you know, like that,
Yeah.
you could, can you classify that as obedience? Like, sure. Like, has there been times where, like, very, very abruptly, I did need to get a dog to a spot or to sit and stay for a fucking second? You know, like, I'm trying to think, like, say you fuck up. I know I did this once, and when Zim was younger, I threw a toy for Baloo, and Zim was like, that's my toy. And luckily I was able to tell Zim stop, and it was an obedience, like, stop down. And, like, that just prevented him from colliding with Baloo. Now, is that a behavioral problem?
No,
Like, no, like, back to tie into the what we were talking about in the beginning, like, no, but, like, yeah, like, obedience, like, I don't want to ever sound like I'm against obedience, like, that's ridiculous. Like, I just have to keep reminding myself of, like, the main theme is, like, yeah, I do teach all my dogs obedience, but I do think some of the things that are most important to me is, look, come to me, you're free, stop fucking doing what you're doing, like, enough, go leave me alone.
yeah.
Like, those are really what I care about. I wanted to make a video for Instagram the other night about, like, why I don't use the place cue, like, when I want my dog to relax, I just want to be enough. And then I realized, like, Zim doesn't even know place as a place cue. Like, he knows to target things with his front feet for Mondio Ring, but I'm like, shit, I've never even told this dog how to go to one specific spot. Like, if I say, hey, go chill out, he'll find a spot and lay down, but, like, he doesn't know, like, place and lay down. I mean, I could tell him, you know, touch down, and I
You're
can kind of
saying,
make it
like,
look
he
like it
doesn't,
happened.
if you say chill out, he'll just kind of find a spot,
He'll go wherever he wants. Like,
whether
if I tell
wherever.
Baloo, go to your bed, he goes to the bed, lays down, but then looks at me like, what do I get now? Like, that's more of, like, that's because I just trains him differently. Because, again, I saw the fallout of all this stuff, which, again, the thing that I almost think it's a good sign, because I think it really means that people as a whole are getting to the root of, like, dog behavior. Is, again, like, it's funny to me that, like, sometimes I listen to the people on both sides, and then I'm like, oh, wait, you're saying the same thing, which is good. I don't think
That
that's
was
a
a
bad
good
thing.
point, honestly, because I sometimes forget, like, about this, because I know you and I talk about it a lot, and honestly, that was a good point that you made earlier about that, because it's true. There's a lot of similarities in that. It's just maybe, yeah, you're approaching it in a certain different way, but there's actually more similarity than a lot of them think.
And
And
then I think too, like, not to
they didn't
create
want
this
to
whole
accept.
debate. What?
Or like want they more than what they want to accept, really.
Yeah. And, like, I know, like, now I'm gonna generalize, and I'm not trying to create, like, the, like, you can't train dangerous dogs, blah blah blah. But, like, you know, I think sometimes with certain dogs, like, the stakes are different. If you have a 9-year-old Labrador that's kind of lazy, and you go the, like, I'm just gonna put a 20-foot line on him and let him go to the sniffy spot, or, like, walk down my street like that. Like, there are a lot of people, like, where that totally works for them, and that's all they need. But if you have, like, a bred machine, right, or just, like, a very intense dog that's, like, gonna, you give them that 20-foot line, and they're hitting the end of the 20 feet, and they're dragging you down and breaking your hips. Like, it just doesn't work for every dog. Like, it just,
Yeah,
or it's
and
harder to do, you know? And then, to what
listen.
extent, like, do you want to live that lifestyle of management? It's hard. It's hard
Yeah, I mean,
to
listen,
get
like, you
that.
don't like, and I'm not. And again, I think we said this in last week's episode too, but I'm not even saying that that like you need to train your dog at a high level. I'm not saying you really even need to teach your dog many things at all. I think like there are certain skills some dogs need to learn, and that could be based on the individual dog. Like, for example, my grandfather's dog, did he know how to come? Yeah, he did, you know, because of just the lifestyle he lived on his farm. Otherwise, like, he didn't know how to sit, lie down. I think he knew how to roll over because my grandfather thought it was just a funny trick to teach. I think that was like something he knew, but otherwise, he didn't really know much else. Like, he knew the like things that he was being taught in the moment of don't do this. Yeah, go hunt the rodent over there. Come when called, and that was it. And did that dog need to know other skills? No, he didn't. And he did fine. That dog was not going for walks around the block. That dog was not go like he was off leash on the farm. And then when he lived in Queens, he lived on the small piece of property that they were on, like that those other 3, 4 days a week. And then they would go out east to the farm. He didn't go for walks. And at the same time, I also say, well, could things have been prevented? Or could have issues been reduced if maybe that dog understood how to drop it or leave it? We're talking about a Jack Russell. Yes. If that dog knew, aside from the fact that he knew how to, like, what no meant, if he maybe understood drop it and leave it, it probably would have prevented a lot of other problems between him and my grandfather. So I do think that in that situation, or like I do think that those skills maybe would have benefited him. I don't think every dog needs certain skills. Like Journey is a great example. Like Journey, I mean, he found training and treats very aversive. A lot of it had to do with some of the neurological issues with his back, whatever. And really, the training he learned was through agility and sheep herding. I did no obedience training with him other than sheep herding, agility, and we did a lot of like just off-leash hiking together, just relationship building, spending time. And he learned his recall through all that stuff. He really didn't know any skills. Now he knows some skills. Is he perfect or flashy? Absolutely not. But he's just like he's a dog where you have some dogs who are just like they're able to live, coexist in your home, live with your family. They're not going to do stupid shit. Like those dogs don't need those certain skills that maybe a dog like Quest definitely needs to keep herself safe in living in the suburbs. You know what I'm saying? And you know, you were saying before about, you were saying even just before about like the intense dogs and stuff. I'm thinking about a client that I work with. I've been working with this dog, Olaf, and I've posted him in videos over the past year or two. And he's, I don't know, he's like 80, 90 pounds. He's huge. His owner is shorter than you and me. So just for reference, we're like
So like
five,
six foot.
six.
It's like
Yeah,
six
we're
foot.
like, yeah, we're 6 feet. Yeah, good call there. So, like, this owner's smaller. Like, she's, I don't know, she's in her 50s, 60s. And this dog is young. He's a young male dog who's big and very reactive to other dogs. And is he 100% fixed? No. Can he walk by dogs now? And is he a helper in group class? And is he a helper in private lessons when I need a helper dog? Yes. And a lot of that was through training skills to help manage his behavior. Like he's the black dog that I post a lot of time where the
I think I
owner,
follow them on Instagram, honestly.
yeah,
The
the
Olaf or name was very familiar.
Yeah, it's the black dog where like you'll see a lot of times the owner loves doing the leash pressure stuff like without verbals where like he'll be walking by a dog and then a dog's approaching and then oh, let's switch him to the other side and he does it and he walks by and there's no blow up. Is the again, the obedience skill or the skill of training that behavior is not fixing the problem, it's just managing it. So again, I don't know. Like, that's just like, this is just where, for me, I just think not every dog needs high level obedience skills. Some dogs really don't need many obedience skills either. I was listening to, actually, funny enough, I was listening to Ivan's podcast, and I think he was talking about, and it might have been with Nake actually on his episode, and he was talking about how he has a Chihuahua living with his Malinois. He's like, yeah, I don't. He's like, I don't train that dog. Like, I don't. As long as the dog understands, like, leave this alone. Don't do that. Like, I don't give a shit. The dog just lives there. Who cares? Like, the dog's living a good life. Like, what else does it really need? And that's fine. I think that's totally fine. And I think, but I for me, I think really what just pours gas on the fire for me with, like, reading this post is it. A lot of people, when they see this or whatever, they're saying it, they're looking at it different than I think maybe what I'm saying, or maybe even what you're saying. I feel like they're looking at it as, we don't need to waste our time training at all, but there are so many benefits to it aside from keeping our dogs safe. We haven't even, you and I haven't even really touched much on the fact that there's the relationship aspect piece to this for some dogs. Not all, but for some dogs, I do think that training does help develop and cultivate a stronger relationship with their person, because they're spending time with them, especially if the training is enjoyable for the most part and it's not like.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think because I'm wondering if, and maybe they did mean it that way, but like, because sometimes we conflate these terms like training, obedience, play. Is that training? Is that obedience? Like, like if I'm playing tug with my dog and I tell him to drop it and he drops it, was that obedience? Like, you know what I mean? And then is that all I need for behavioral problems? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, because again, because I agree, like, I agree with you 100%. And, like, I think training, as long as we're defining it as, like, I kind of define training as, like, working with your dog and, like, teaching them things. Like, so that's, like, really broad. Whereas I think of obedience as, like, sit stay, down stay, like, boring obedience classes, which, to be fair, my first dog, Jester, which what my whole Instagram, my name, like that's where my company's name comes from. That was the dog I had when I wasn't a trainer and I was going to training. And the one thing that happened to me, dude, and I always remind myself of this when I'm working with clients is like, call me an idiot. I was probably 19, 20 years old. I went to a balance trainer and he was teaching me sit stays and down stays and really flashy heeling and really good recalls. My dog was like amazing. And like I thought that meant he wasn't going to bite anyone anymore. Like I truly thought
Yeah.
that. I was like, oh, he's not going to bite anyone anymore. He sits stays. He's
Yeah.
sitting and staying and he comes when I call him to. He's fine. He's not barking at anyone. And then when he did bite someone, I was like legitimately like blown away. I was like, what do you mean? Like wh
Yeah.
like
Yep.
how what do you mean like he bit someone? He's
Yeah.
trained. So like again, I am so on your side. I'm only doing this to kind of show the other side.
No,
Like
but I
I, you
agree.
know me with like the people that are like against training and like, oh my God, like keep your dog in a house, place on the placemat, whether it's again force-free, giving them cookies, letting them drool on the bed all day, or the guy that has the leash tethered into the wall and the dog is just in a down stay all day, regardless of what side of the fucking spectrum you're on. I just dislike both of those and that's not what I do. You know, like
Yeah,
I hate either side. Well, I don't want to say hate, that's a strong word, but I dislike.
and how may you really feel that
Trying
way?
not to hate
So,
anymore, at
yeah,
least, publicly.
no, but honestly, but that's the same with my dog, with my prior dog Gerber. I mean, it was the same thing. I was doing all this training and all this work with him, and I had a strong relationship with that dog. But the reality was, he was still super intense as a resource guarder, and he was super protective of my home, despite all that shit that I taught him, all the work I did. So the obedience skills definitely didn't change who he was internally. What I will say is, those skills did help manage him in certain situations. It definitely didn't fix anything. It didn't make him less intense. It just meant that in certain situations, I was able to have maybe more control over him if I needed to. And even that could have been questionable because sometimes he's a wild card. So, like, I'm not sitting here saying, again, I'm not sitting here saying like obedience skills are going to fix problems, but I do think that I think there's a place for them. Like, I do think that they're one of the pieces to the puzzle. Like, I think everyone, think today, especially in our industry, everyone's all about methodology, ideology. Like, I follow this and this is all I do. And I think honestly, this is partially how you and I met and became friends, but also like how we both of us are on our journey. And I'm not saying that like we're both on the same path, but I'm just simply saying that I think that we're both taking things from a lot of different places because at the end of the day, it's just not one piece of a puzzle. Like there's a lot of pieces to that puzzle, if that makes sense. And I don't think that obedience is the cure for everything. There are plenty of trainers out there that keep me in business half the time that's their view is, and then people spent thousands of dollars later and they're like, hey, my dog is really good at this obedience stuff and can stay on a place, but he's still biting visitors when they come in the home. Yeah, that's not addressing the underlying problem. And again, like I was saying before, I think that whether we're talking about training skills, whether we're talking about training skills on the spot, like my grandfather did on his farm, where he was just the dog was with him everywhere, would ride on his tractor, would follow him around, etc. There was, or we're talking about just play skills. Like, I do think that spending the time doing things that both parties enjoy is just going to help develop a relationship, which I think in many ways is like the key to being able to also help sometimes in some situations, help our dogs in some of those situations, because they may look to us for guidance or for further information. Again, that does not mean like further information means, yeah, that's right, go heal now. No, it just might be as simple as, okay, yeah, that's the neighbor across the street. It's not a big deal. Let's keep walking, you know?
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. And so the same with obedience, like I'm sure you're in sports, you know, you do Mondio with Quest, you do agility, you do herding, and I'm sure in the beginning maybe you weren't, but you might have been surprised when you see some of the dogs that trial really well or are really good in the ring or whatever they're doing, and then you find out behind the scenes because you talk to the owner, you're friends with the owner, that like they guard the house or they have resource guarding or they pull on lead, like you know, like it's the same exact thing. And here are these dogs that are like literally gaining ribbons, you know, doing a sport, and they're trained to an elite level, like way higher than anyone is ever gonna get their dog, and like they have problems. Now I'm sure there are people in the sport world, and you know, I've heard things and I've seen people just outright admit it, where like they almost take pride in the fact that like their dog is amazing at the sport, but like they're just fucking wild at like, you know what I mean? Like, oh my God, like this dog is just a maniac. I has to live in the yard in a fence, you know what I mean? Like, but they don't really mind. So I think
Yeah, I
you and
mean, no,
I
yeah, I mean, I've
both kind of
seen.
prioritize both, where like, you know, the way I train Zim from Mondo Ring, it doesn't look anything like the way I trained him around my house. You know, like it's just there's a whole different side to him that I need to like also, you know, spend time with.
No, absolutely. I mean, like a lot of people, when they see Quest, even though she's tiny and only 35 pounds, like a lot of people don't believe me when I say, yeah, I mean, like, this is her in my home.
Yeah, she's so
Like,
tiny.
she's
Like
just,
smushed into the crevice.
she's like half the size of Journey right there. Like, a lot of people don't believe me because they see like wild, jumpy, scrappy little dog, and yeah, she is all those things, and she's like a little bomb in many respects, but at home she's just very different. And to your point, yeah, I mean, like the things I do with her in my house, the things that I had to teach her to understand, to learn, to like coexist with Journey and myself, are different than the things I may be teaching her to do, whether it's at herding, at like the Mondi obedience stuff, or even like her off leash stuff that I've been doing. I mean, they're just very different things.
But, and like what you just showed, she's not in a crate with a Kong and a licky mat. And she's also not tethered to a pole with an e-collar on, getting told to go to her spot. She's literally just sleeping on your couch.
Yeah.
Like that, to me, that is the goal. Like, you are completely out of that situation right now. You're not managing your two dogs right now. They're not under some type of a control, whether it's for reward or for punishment. They're just fucking, they're just, they, you taught them to chill, I'm assuming.
Coexist.
Because it's not like you have two lazy dogs that aren't bred for sports. Like, you have two sport dogs that are just sleeping on a couch right now.
Yeah.
Like, so yeah, like that, I think, is ultimately, that's the goal. Like, same, like, my dogs are just sleeping here.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want them to be in the corner on that box staring at me. Like, when am I being released?
Yeah.
You know, like, and I don't know. I guess you don't call that obedience. And so I guess whatever.
Yeah. And maybe, I mean, that's like where, like, what, whatever you want to call it, whether it's teaching or life skills, like I was saying earlier, I think the bottom line is, I think people are, I think a lot of the dog trainers just focusing on that, the wording or the term, and they're not looking at it from like the broader picture of, no, like, it doesn't need to be an actual structured obedience session. You know, like I posted a video last year in, I want to say it was March or April. It was like 3 weeks after Journey had his spinal cord surgery, and he was in a playpen for 3 weeks because of recovery, and I couldn't let the dogs, he couldn't really walk around, and I couldn't let the dogs interact. And then the first night I let them out, where he was allowed to be in the living room with us, and Journey was laying on the bed, and then Quest went over and just wanted to like interact. And then they both started to play a little, but I couldn't let him like really do much. And I just simply said to Quest, and it's in the video on the post, like, I just was like, hey, enough. And she just stopped. She came over, came on the couch, and laid down on the couch next to me. I didn't tell her to do that. Enough just means stop. Just stop what you're doing there. You can't do that. And Journey was just on his dog bed. Like, he just stayed there. And she just walked away. And my point is that wasn't an obedience session where I'm saying, hey, you must do this. It just means, hey, don't do that. Do whatever else you want. I think even like, just again, wording, I think is, it really comes down to wording a lot of the time. Like, these things, in a way, like, yeah, they're life skills. We are still teaching or training them. And if we, God forbid, bring up like, yes, this is like, we're teaching rules and boundaries. Like, that's what essentially I'm doing in that situation. Like, that for some people is even like going too far. But I also want my dogs to be able to just coexist in my house peacefully with me, as opposed to just like keeping them almost like fucking zoo animals half the time, aged up. Like,
yeah, nah, makes sense.
What else?
So obedience. So obedience isn't the way to go. What else is on my mind? I have no idea. What isn't on my mind is a better question.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Canine Classroom. If you liked the show, make sure to smack that like button, share the show with your friends, and give us a rating. Until next time, class dismissed.